Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your host. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast review of the latest and greatest in all things nerdy. Explicit content warning, this podcast may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages. Material on this podcast has been deemed to be vulgar, rude, and sometimes even crude. You've been warned. What up, what up, what up, my motherfucking nerdy peeps? How's it going, everybody? Christian, how you doing?
Great, how are you?
I'm pretty good. So, everyone, if you guys didn't catch our last week's podcast, there has been some changes here at NBR, and this is the first installment of Film Review Friday.
Woot woot.
Woot woot. As you could tell, new theme song, new intro. I had to improvise there because I wrote the other one for our other podcast that comes out on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Pacific time. That's important. Pacific time. So always be on the lookout on Sunday nights and Friday nights for new podcast. Yeah. But yeah, I'll be writing a new one for the film review one. Just I didn't think of it beforehand. So now we're here. So for our first film, we're going to do Thor Ragnarok because, you know, it just came out last night.
Yeah, and we saw it last night.
And we saw it.
Sorry, guys. I'm battling a little bit of illness here. So.
Me too. Okay, not illness. I have a raging headache.
Yeah.
So if at times I seem snippy or, you know, whatever, that's why. Because my head is killing me right now.
Something like that. But yeah, we are here to talk to you about Thor Ragnarok. And let's just get into it, right? What an enjoyable film this was.
What an enjoyable film indeed.
So this film is pretty much derived partially from Planet Hulk and partially from Thor-ish. It's not really derived from any specific Thor comic. I mean, it's supposed to reference like Ragnarok, the end of Asgard, pretty much. But it doesn't take a whole lot of elements from that story. But it takes quite a bit from Planet Hulk, you know, where we go to the planet Sakaar, where Hulk is battling as a gladiator. And in the comic book, Planet Hulk, he starts like this rebellion kind of because he wants to go back to Earth, and he recruits Korg, who's in this movie, who's like the Australian guy who's hilarious.
Yeah.
And his buddy, I think his name was Merc or Mink, one of the two, shark face with knife hands.
Yes.
And, you know, a bunch of other people he recruits and ends up eventually getting back to Earth and starting World War Hulk for, you know, other reasons. But that has nothing to do with this. But, yeah, they took that kind of element and threw Thor in there and kind of put a spanner in the works. But what was your overall thought of this film?
Dynamic,
huh?
Yeah. If I had to sum it up in one word, dynamic.
All right. That's a good word. That's a good, strong word. I don't know if I could sum it up in one word.
Try.
I would just say hilarious.
Okay.
I think this film does have something for everyone. I think that a lot of casual fans can come in and greatly enjoy this film. I think your elite nerds will find problems with it. But they are picky.
Such as?
Just deviations from the comic books. Hela being Odin's daughter. I think people would have a problem with that. Technically, she's Loki's daughter. She was put in charge. Well, not really put in charge. She was exiled from Asgard by Odin and put as the queen, essentially, of Niflheim and Hel. So she wouldn't necessarily take lives, but she would be responsible for the souls of people that died that were evil or bad or whatever. She could, though. She had like a touch of death where she could touch someone and they die and things like that.
Right.
Mostly to mortals, even Asgardians or other gods. But I think people have a problem because, you know, she's technically the offspring of Loki and a frost giant, kind of allegedly Loki. It's like, it gets kind of confusing. It's not like proof of it, but that is like the running theory, and what we're led to believe. So I think, you know, those extreme elite nerds will be upset about that. But it's not really a problem. It kind of lays your motivation for her and her backstory, which kind of doesn't really play out too much. But yeah, I think, I mean, the film overall was ripe with comedy, mostly landed well for me. How about you?
Yeah, no, I thought the comedy was great. I mean, it's what I think helped make the film.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people, oh, Jesus, sorry. I know a lot of people were not too happy or whatever with the amount of comedy. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just think, obviously, in the setting of the characters, I mean, you have to understand like what characters you're working with, right?
And, yeah.
And Thor is not this overly serious character, to be honest with you.
Well, he's overly serious in a way that leads him to be hilarious. Like, you can't take him seriously.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, like, yes and no. Like, yeah, he is, like, a serious, like, guy sometimes, but, like, a lot of times he's just, like, a drunk, like, Asgardian, like, just, like, that, I mean, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, like, but veritable to how Valkyrie was in this film.
Yeah.
But I mean, even her, you know, she was hilarious, and what an all-star Tessa Thompson was.
She was very, very good in that role.
So let me read you guys something, right, that I found on Twitter that's making the rounds. This is someone's Twitter kind of review. They said, these problems are considerable, but in a way they're clarifying. When the zip and gloss of previous Marvel movies are stripped away, it's easier to just see how narratively and emotionally stale the franchise's formula has become. That's even clearer because there are two truly different kinds of movies lurking around the margins of Thor Ragnarok, both of them substantially more compelling than the blockbuster that's actually on offer. The other option would have been Hela herself, who sashays back into Asgard with some legitimate grievances, disconcerting backstory on Asgard's glory, and impressively mutable hair. It turns out that she was Daddy's little weapon of conquest until Odin decided he wanted to play the benevolent deity and locked his eldest daughter and rightful heir away, ostensibly because of her violent appetites, but also so that he could burnish the family's image. Thor Ragnarok never seriously contests her argument that Asgard is built on the violent subjugation of other societies, and it never really reckons with it either. There's a problem for the movie, which contains a lot of nattering about what it is that heroes do and how Asgard is defined by its people, not its physical location. It also would have been a terrific opportunity for a Marvel anti-hero movie that dares to ask whether our heroes are defending a tainted colonial legacy, and if so, what makes them morally superior to the weapon that forged that legacy?
I mean, I'm sure the guy is just a DC fan. I mean, literally, I'm pretty sure that's what it comes down to. Like, the guy, you know, they everybody, you know, talks about, you know, Marvel, you know, uses the Krabby Patty formula, you know, just, you know, action, you know, comedy, whatever. But it's like, they're still like, you tear that away and the stories are still phenomenal.
Do you think that's the case in this movie? If you strip away all the comedy, the movie functions narratively well?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that the person who wrote that, I agree with them in some aspects. I do think, like, we don't really resolve a lot of the stuff with Hela. We don't really resolve, like, her grievances or anything like that. She kind of just, you know, comes back and she's all powerful and she kills everyone who gets in her way. And nobody really questions, like, you know, the fact that, you know, Asgard was essentially built by her killing people. Or nobody questions, how, you know, Odin's change of heart affected anything or anything like that. Like, it's kind of just like a plot point that just stays there. And, like, I don't really understand how she's going to rule Asgard, you know, if she's just going to kill everybody in Asgard and things like that. Like, that kind of stuff, I can understand people's
grievances. I don't even think she's necessarily so much interested in just Asgard. She wants to rule everything. You know what I mean? Like, that's why she was trying to leave Asgard as well.
Right, but
she wanted to use the Bifrost to go to the other realms and everything.
Right. She gets her power, though, from Asgard.
Well, yeah.
That's what we're told. So, I mean, I can understand that. Like, Cate Blanchett as Hela was phenomenal performance-wise. I just think that the villain wasn't written as well as, or like the story for her wasn't complete for some reason. But
I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, what makes it incomplete?
Well, just like what I was saying, like, you know, we get this idea or we're told that she was the firstborn and all this stuff, and she's
right.
she is supposed to be the heir to Asgard. So when she comes back, or, you know, it's like, you know, and she's like, well, Odin covered all this up, and we don't get anybody questioning, like, well, Odin used to be kind of evil, you know, he'd have her do all these terrible things and whatever. And it's just kind of like, that's not really developed enough, you know? And then,
not really. I mean, just because they don't sit there and, you know, talk about what Odin did doesn't, I mean, why do you need, like, who cares? Odin's dead. It'd be different if he was alive and, you know, you can go question him, you know what I mean? But he's not alive anymore. So that doesn't matter.
I mean, I just think that Hela as a villain, story-wise, was not developed to her fullest. I think this is another issue. I don't know. I disagree
because they resolved everything, though. They told us why she was banished, why, you know what I mean? Like, we know exactly how she came out of it. You know what her motives are. You know everything.
I don't really know what her motives are.
You know that she is to rule over Asgard, and then she was trying to leave, so then...
Yeah, we know that's what she wants to do, but we don't know why.
What does it matter? She's just a power-hungry person. There's nothing more to that. You don't... Once as a child, Odin didn't love me enough, so I want to rule everything. Is that what you wanted to hear? I mean, you don't need this, like, deep explanation into why she wants to rule. She wants to rule.
She wants to rule. Yes, I get that. I just...
Why does any, like, leader in history really wanted to rule? I mean... They just wanted, they're in a position of power and they took advantage. I mean, that's just the way it happens.
I get it. I just, in my opinion, she wasn't as developed as she could have been.
But I guess that's really like your own opinion, but I don't know. I would just like heavily like disagree with that. Like, I don't know. I don't get like your like point of view necessarily.
Well, where, like, the difference is, right? A lot of people don't, because it's like when you get into like this critical thinking kind of thing or whatever, it's like, this is how you're taught to analyze text, you know? So that's like what I'm trying to do. And I don't think like you've had like that kind of, you know, you've never really done that. Does that make sense? Like, for me, I've done a lot of like research and work into like these kind of tropes and kind of like getting into critical analysis of narrative and things like that. So I try, you know, I think I'm more critical than you are when it comes to stuff like that. And maybe like, and I think that we disconnect because a lot of times, like, I'll say things or I'll use things like death of the author, which I know you hate me saying, and like, cause we've had arguments about stuff like that, but these are real things that exist when it comes to critical analysis. And, you know, I come from a place where I adhere more to that stuff. And, you know, I respect that you come from a place where you question like, oh, well, who decides this or that or whatever. But I think that's the beauty of it, is that individuals, you decide, I decide, you know, for ourselves, you know, we can watch the same movie, read the same book, come away with completely different things, and they're both valid, you know. And so, you know, when I say I don't think she's developed enough, you know, I know you heavily disagree, but I know you respect that as well, you know. Maybe. And I respect that you heavily disagree, because, you know, it's like you went and saw the same movie I did and came away with something different in that aspect, but 100% don't let that take away from the fact that you and I are on the exact same page when it comes to this movie was one of the, if not the most enjoyable Marvel films of all time.
I definitely agree with that.
So, you know, I'm nitpicking in a way, you know, and you could say the same thing like about me with Spider-Man, because I will not deny I have a huge affinity for Spider-Man and have a big bias towards Spider-Man, you know? So it's like,
yeah,
and then even with Winter Soldier and things like that. So it's like, I have biases.
Don't have to tell me, brother.
You have biases, but, you know, I just like, I like to be a little more critical sometimes.
It's fine being critical, but like, there's just situations where I feel like I don't understand like that point where it's like you have to find like the deeper meaning to every little thing. It's like sometimes things just happen.
Well,
you know, like in life generally, things sometimes just happen. People just make decisions. They're not motivated by some crazy thing that we have to like delve into their past about. It's just she was power hungry. She wanted to rule.
You're right.
That's what
right.
It comes down to.
And for me, it's for me, the critical analysis is trying to find deeper meaning in things. And like you said, there doesn't always have to be. But I think when you try to find it and you do find it, it opens up more and more for you to enjoy in the thing, you know?
So. But then, okay, no, I can appreciate that. But then if you don't find it, then you're like, oh, it's incomplete just because you didn't find the deeper meaning. See well, how that's like super flawed logic.
It was incomplete. I just said, I wish it was more developed.
Well, that's the same thing.
I mean, but you,
that's
would,
the
would
same
you agree
thing.
That you would not have liked to see or hear more of Hela rather than what they gave us.
I think more or less the battle between her and Thor I would have liked to see more, but I think it just came down to, you know, she was much more powerful than him. So,
right.
I mean, it didn't lend itself to like, you know, I don't think the director, like the writers or anybody really wanted to waste a lot of time, you know, in the film with this like huge fight scene or, you know, or like too much. It's like too much of a thing could be a bad thing, you know?
Right.
And I think that could be the case. It's like too much of Hela could have been a bad thing, you know?
Yeah.
I do think, you know, maybe I would have liked to hear a little bit more about, you know, like the things that went on with like her and Odin, but not necessarily like, I don't feel the need that anybody had to like hold him like accountable at this point. You know, he's like, he's dead already.
Right.
Or why is nobody quite, I don't think about that necessarily. I just would have liked to see it more. You know what I mean?
Right.
Cause I think that was like cool that it was like a cover up and it's like, you know, he was lying this whole time about like how Asgard came to be and everything. Like, and he presented himself as a benevolent god and like how he was a good, you know, person or whatever.
Right.
But it was never really the case, you know?
And it almost kind of mirrors Loki's impersonation of Odin in a way where you like, it just reminds me of the scene in Elf where he's like, you sit on a throne of lies.
Right.
You know? And it's like, that's like the kind of thing is like, you know, Odin is sitting in this palace, you know, in peace times, essentially built from war and in conquest and,
well, I mean,
and you know, what kind of empire really isn't, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like,
well, I mean, because you can't even say the word, you know, peace without, you know, the polar opposite of war. You know, one doesn't exist without the other.
Right.
You know, there's no such thing as the perfect world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everything has, like, the shady past or the bloody past, or you know what I mean? So, I, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So, on some of these other characters we get here, or just on Hela real quick, because one of the interesting things is we get this, like, flashback that Loki makes, like, Valkyrie remember of them fighting Hela.
Right.
And what happened. And that was a really cool sequence. But in the comic books, if you guys didn't know, Hela actually at one point corrupted the Valkyrie to fight for her when she tried to invade Asgard. And Loki was always an ally of Hela, always working with her to try to, you know, because he's the trickster, always trying to usurp. And technically, it's his daughter and whatever. So all that stuff is pretty interesting.
That's one thing I do like about this film, though, is like, you know, we've always talked about, right, the Marvel has seemed to have like lost characteristics that make Thor and Loki great yeah. characters is, you know, the Loki is a trickster. And when you watch Thor 1, you don't necessarily grasp that concept. You know what I mean? In this one, you really grasp that. You really understand that he is the trickster. Thor talks about it a lot. You know, you see, like, whether Thor doesn't know if he's, like, really there or not. Like, he knows Loki's tricks, but, you know, you can never be so sure with Loki. And then you get it when, you know, he's still impersonating Odin and he's putting on the play to, you know, boost himself. That's something a trickster does. He's a trickster.
Right.
And then you get, like, the nod to, like, Thor and it's like how he's, I mean, Thor. He's like kind of like really goofy in the movie, like in a he's like a unintentional goofy, I guess. And you know, and he's like drinking the beer, and he's like and like when he sees Valkyrie like drinking, and like almost like you can tell like it turns him on, you know what I mean? So I was like, dude, like Valkyrie, those are all like things on. Like things I've been waiting for, especially with Thor. I always talk to you about that. I'm like, oh man, I don't necessarily know if like, I mean, I think this version of Thor is great. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But there's so many elements of, you know, the comic book that they never really added.
Right. And, you know, we get this, you know, ultra serious Thor in Age of Ultron 2 or Age of Ultron. We also get, you know, the super serious Thor in the second Thor movie, The Dark World. So it's like, it's kind of interesting, like kind of seeing this come together where we get this serious Thor, but it becomes comedic in the way that how serious he is, you know?
Right.
And that's the kind of Thor we've been missing. And there was a quote from the director, I think, where he said it was Chris Hemsworth's idea to have the haircut and things like that, because he heard Kevin Smith on a podcast talk about how Thor needs to really change up if it's going to be a successful film franchise, because it hasn't been authentic in a way, and it hasn't
exactly been
what it needed to be. And that was like the inspiration for it. So Kevin Smith, by the way, you're a god, you know.
Oh yeah.
You're a god influencing gods. So
okay, what do you think about Thor losing Mjolnir? You know, Hela destroyed it.
We know his hammer needed to be destroyed. I think her being Odin's first daughter explains how she could destroy it so easily. And I definitely, you know, I like it thematically, because, you know, we get this great scene from Force Odin, pretty much. Our dream state Odin, I guess. I don't know. Delusional state Odin, where he's telling Thor, you know, you don't need the hammer. The hammer was there to help channel your powers, but you have the powers, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and then you get to see powers we've never seen before.
Definitely.
I mean, we've always seen him use, like, we've seen him use the lightning bolt before. But it was never without Mjolnir. Never.
Right.
Never. He never just, like, had, like, the raging fucking, like, lightning eyes. Like, he never, you know, was able. Dude, that scene on the bridge, oh. Dude, I nearly came in my pants.
I mean, the scene in the bridge, the fight scene between Thor and Hulk was amazing. I mean, there's so many great battle and action sequences in this movie. We get the classic, like, superhero landing, but, like, obviously they don't play it straight. You know, Banner jumps out of the plane and just crashes, like, breaks his neck on the bridge.
I think that was almost... it was a play on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was literally just a jab at themselves, because they do it in every movie.
And then it's followed by Thor being all lightning, missing his eye, hero landing onto the bridge to fight, you know?
Right.
Which was fucking awesome.
So one character I'd love to talk to you about, right, is Scourge. What'd you think about him in this movie?
Scourge in this movie, Executioner, yeah? Scourge.
Yes.
Yeah. He played an interesting role. I think people are going to be upset that he didn't have the sword. I think that's a thing, you know, nerd elitists again.
Right.
But, I like how, you know, we kind of get introduced to him as like just this kind of like dorky guy. Obviously trying to impress people, make his way, do all these things. Ends up following Hela, doesn't actually have to execute that woman, which, thank God, because, you know, that kind of saves his conscience a little bit.
Right.
And then at the end, he sacrifices himself. And that's a big thing. He dies in this film. The Warriors 3 die in this film. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to have problems with that as well.
Well, okay. But the thing is Scourge dies. That scene was like literally almost ripped exactly out of the comics.
Yeah.
Because in the comics, the way he died was he was like holding open the gate to the underworld for Thor.
He saved the world when he died.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, technically, he let them escape. Like,
yeah,
but,
you know, effectively.
But he stopped Ragnarok, essentially, in the comics.
Well, yeah. The true. But, like, but it's, like, the same. Like, it was, like, I mean, obviously, you know, different variables. But it's, like, the way he died is, like, yeah, he was, you know, this is just, like, on the Bifrost. That's it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great scene. I thought it was, like, you know, the way he died was honorable. You know, I think. he was influenced by the power of Hela and like not really sure like who to follow, but then like he found essentially his the humanity factor within himself.
I think he was just trying to survive, like, you know. Yeah. I don't think he was ever really under the sway of Hela. He was just scared for his life, you know, because he saw her like just straight up murder almost every Asgardian soldier, like,
right,
and just all these ridiculous things. And it's funny because Hela is this character in the comics where like she really is the goddess of death, and she has all these powers to release souls and take souls and all this stuff. And
right.
I can't tell you the number of times that she's killed and revived Thor or been killed and been revived. Like, it's right. So funny. Like just read like a synopsis of her history, and it's just it's ridiculous the number of times her and or Thor have died and been revived. And it's kind of funny because in this movie, you know, she takes Thor's eye, which you wonder if it's going to grow back. Probably not.
But, no.
You know, it's very symbolic, very thematic with Odin, because, you know, he is becoming the new ruler, the new king.
Exactly.
He has to take that charge and essentially decide how he's going to lead the people as they head to Earth and everything like that. So it's really thematic and symbolic, and I really like that as well. But their fight scene at the end was fucking incredible.
Incredible.
And, I mean, some of the standout humor, right, was like the when Thor was getting thrown around like a rag doll by
I was just about to mention that,
and Loki's like, yes, yeah, you know how it feels. or even
great.
When Hulk first came out, Loki's like shitting his pants.
That was
awesome as well. I mean,
what were some other great humors that you liked?
There wasn't a whole bunch of humor in this, but I loved the Doctor Strange cameo. I just everything about it. Like, it's classic Doctor Strange in this area, and I just thought that was fucking amazing. Korg. Fucking Korg, man. He's the best.
He is so funny.
He reminds me of Ozzie Man Reviews.
I know, dude. I almost like wondered. I was like, dude, is that the same guy?
He's voiced by the director, Taika Waititi.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. Yeah. That's amazing.
That's fucking awesome.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Talking about Korg, his revolution. He's like, it has begun.
Well, and that's funny because, I mean, that does also mirror or reflect what happens in Planet Hulk.
I was just going to say that as well. I was like, there is the accuracy is just, you know, led by somebody
different. And that's what I'm saying is, like, people on the far fringes, people who hate comic book movies are never going to like this film. People who hate nerd elitists who hate anything deviating from comics are never going to like this film. But casual fans who go to see this movie that don't really read comics are going to love it. And casual comic book fans or even big comic book fans that like the movies and like that they're not exact are going to take these away, things away, where you have a lot of elements of Planet Hulk, you have elements of Ragnarok and things like that. And I think that's what makes this film, as you say, dynamic. So I thought that was great. Other humor points, as you were saying, though, when Bruce Banner dies, pretty much jumps out of the plane and like crashing on the bridge is amazing. When Thor is like, I'm going to escape, and he throws the ball at the window and hits him in the face. that was great as well.
You know what was like funny too? Like, it was like the awkward comedy, right? Is like from Thor. Is like when he's talking to Valkyrie and he's like essentially like talking about feminism in a way.
Oh, yeah,
he was
yeah.
And he's like stumbling on his words, and he's like, yeah, and women, oh, yeah, women are great.
He's like, I love women. I've been with a lot of women. I mean, but like, not like that, you know?
Yeah.
That was great as well. So some of the...
I remember there was just like one point where I couldn't stop laughing from something, but I can't remember what it was now.
Yeah.
It was like really funny, though.
There are a lot of things that were like just ridiculously funny. So, and look, I don't think that there was too much comedy. I don't think there was too much humor, and I don't think it was a problem.
I feel like this movie just inherently lent itself to that much comedy.
If you're going to compare it to a film with comedy, you're going to compare it to Guardians 1, which nobody complained about the comedy in that film. And I think
right.
I think this film didn't try to abuse that the way that Guardians 2 did.
I still, I mean, you know me, I love being introduced to new worlds, right?
Right.
And this is something like just like that's what Guardians, you know, was for a lot of people. It's like the introduction to like a lot of space adventure, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like that was like almost reintroducing us to that, you know, getting on Sakaar, right? Okay. I was like, wait, did I just say that right? Yeah, when you're getting like introduced to Sakaar and like, you know, how everybody's dressed and like how his like guards were dressed. I thought that armor was so cool.
Yeah.
I was just like looking at like their guards and stuff, and I was like, I should cosplay as one of those. I was like, those look so amazing to me for some reason. Like, I don't know why. I was just like, so cool.
Yeah. Speaking of Sakaar, what did you make of the Grandmaster?
I thought he was great. I thought it was super hilarious.
Yeah.
It's like almost like, well, I mean, obviously, you know, in the comics, and I'm assuming in this world as well, that the Collector and the Grandmaster are brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, they even look fucking alike. It's kind of
weird.
Right, right. And so, you know, in comparison, it's like the Collector was kind of out there, but the Grandmaster is out there, dude. He's like a hippie, like orgies and shit. It was like fucking like...
I mean...
And he almost like views himself as like a god, essentially.
Well, I mean, he kind of is. I mean, he's ridiculously powerful. Even in... And the comics, like, the Grandmaster is up there in power, you know?
I was thinking about that a little bit, too. I was like, wow. I was like, he, like, built a planet. What the hell?
Pretty much, yeah.
He built a planet. No, like, he was the creator of Sakaar.
Yeah, definitely in this universe. In the comic book, in Planet Hulk, it's run by someone else.
That's fine.
And his henchwoman, pretty much, who I guess would be, like, the Valkyrie kind of character. Was sent after them, ends up becoming pregnant with Hulk's baby, and then gets killed.
what do you think about like the little dynamic between them two,
Valkyrie and Hulk?
Yeah, like how playful and like they're friends and everything.
Yeah,
and I thought it was like hell funny because like when he becomes Banner, like they don't know who each other are,
but they know each other.
It's so funny. You're just like, you can't wait because you know eventually you know Banner's gonna become a Hulk in the movie again, and you're just like, well. You know,
yeah.
How is she going to react? How, you know, it's going to be hilarious.
Yeah. And I can't tell you how much I enjoy Valkyrie and her entire arc through this film. She's just a delight. I love everything about her. So,
right.
But yeah, we also get like on the humor point, a 3-beat with like Loki and his like astral projection or whatever with like Thor making sure he's there. You know, like the first beat is like he's not really there and Thor's just throwing rocks through him. Second beat, like he actually gets hit by something.
Oh, yeah.
And then the third beat, he catches the thing at the end or whatever. So, like, yeah. I mean, that worked really well for me as well. So,
Okay. Was it just me, right? So, remember when Hela's like going through Odin's vault and like she slaps the Infinity Gauntlet and says fake?
Yeah.
I swear to God, that was like a play to fake news.
maybe.
The way she said, she's like, fake. And like knocked it over.
I mean, I guess that might explain why there are two Infinity Gauntlets,
right?
I mean,
I remember we had talked about it and we're like, but I think the reason like we were talking about it a little bit differently because, as you know, there's two Infinity Gauntlets in the comic book world,
and we're also questioning it because you know at the end of Age of Ultron we see him put his hand in the gauntlet and whatever, and everybody's like, oh well. But I thought the gauntlet was in Odin's vault, you know? So people are like, you know, how's he getting this gauntlet if the gauntlet's in Odin's vault? Well, the one in Odin's vault, apparently, guys, isn't real.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of interesting, though. So I wonder if, like, in the future, if they'll ever do a secondary, like, Infinity Gauntlet. Because, assumingly, in Infinity War, that they'll probably have to, like, destroy the gauntlet somehow.
Yeah.
Which, you know, should be intriguing in itself. Talking about the Infinity Gauntlet is like in the very beginning when Thor's, you know, doing like essentially the weird little like talk to himself.
Voiceover.
Yeah, the voiceover talk. And like he's like talking about how he's like chasing through the cosmos to find these little infinity gems.
Found
dude.
Nothing.
I found nothing.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I guess Hela wasn't the main villain. I mean, she was the main antagonist, but the baddest bad guy was Searcher. I can't say his name. Surtur, who essentially made Ragnarok happen. We believe killed Hela in the process. Maybe not, but I think we're led to believe that he kills Hela in the process.
Well, I mean, you just see like. You know, essentially, like, those god vapors, you know, like, kind of how, like, when Odin, like, passed on, like, it was, like, glowing, like, the golden stuff.
And Odin became one with the Force.
Okay, which, so much stuff to talk about. So great. What do you think about that? I feel like a lot of people that are like Star Wars fanatics are going to fucking hate that, right?
I mean,
come on.
The highest form of flattery is imitation, okay, guys? Hey,
that is a great saying.
I
like that.
And I think that if people are really pissed off about that, like, for me, it's a joke, like, to say he became one with the Force. Like, his essence essentially just transferred somewhere else. I mean, that's what happens when gods die. You know, like, heroes, when they die, they go to Valhalla. I mean, when gods die, what do you think happens to them? Their souls go somewhere else, and he's...
Right.
You know, he's Yoda, essentially, in this film. You know, he just becomes one with the Force.
I get to see how, like, that would just make so many, like, fanatics, you know, Star Wars fanboys, very, very angry, you know? And I personally don't see it like that. I was just like, you know, that was great. I thought it was awesome.
Well, I mean, what else are you going to do with him? Just have him lay on the ground dead and have him bury him or something? Like, that's not really...
Well, even like, you know, burn his body? Thor being able to talk to Odin in like the dream world is essentially like, you know, the projections of...
Obi-Wan or whatever.
Obi-Wan, yeah. Or even like Yoda.
Yeah. But,
you know,
I mean... He doesn't manifest himself to
Thor, so I mean, I think I kind of had a feeling, right, that you wouldn't really be bothered by it. But do you see how I could see why, like, how people would be bothered? You know,
people are bothered by everything these days. To be honest, yeah. Like, I think those people are never going to be satisfied or anything to begin with. I mean, those are the same people, like. I mentioned it, but I don't have a problem with it. You know, those are the same people that are going to have a huge issue with the Warriors 3 getting killed pretty quickly in this movie.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's the one thing I'd really knock, dude. Like.
But again, like I said, in the comments.
There's actually a couple things. Like, there's a couple things I would knock.
It's like people are killed and revived so often, especially when it comes to Hela and Thor, you know? And it's like, what are they really going to do in the future with the Warriors 3? You know, assumingly, they're not going to keep making Thor movies until the end of time. This might be the last one. They might do one more.
Dude, honestly, I thought this was going to be the last one. Because I remember we were talking about predictions, right? So, obviously, I was wrong. You know, just based off, like, you know, Ragnarok being the end of days and, you know, Asgardian, like, legend or lore. I thought, you know, Thor would, you know, go out in, like, a hero sacrifice and die in the film. That's honestly what I expected.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was entirely possible, but we know he's going to be in Infinity War, so maybe he'll die there. Probably not. I think Thor can be one of their characters moving forward that helps into the new age. I definitely think RDJ doesn't want to do it anymore, so they'll probably kill him off for sure. And I think Chris Evans is getting to the end of his rope as well.
Right.
So,
but I don't. I do know. You know, the guy that plays Loki. He doesn't like. He wants to keep going.
Yeah.
I've seen him in like some interviews. He's like, you know, as long as they want me, I'll keep right. going. You haven't heard anything from Chris Hemsworth, you know. And I think, you know, going forward, you know, if like a directional change, if they pivot in the right direction, you know, I think it could be pulled off without them. No longer there. I mean, they could kill them off in ways and. Bring up other heroes and give other heroes the limelight, essentially. You know, Spider-Man, eventually he has to get a little bit older.
And he'll probably be the leader at some point.
Yeah.
So, I think that they're going in a great direction. So, but, you know, in terms of this film, you know, obviously Thor didn't die.
Well, yeah, of course.
But, I mean, I think they managed to do everything really well. I had a point, right. But I forgot what it was.
Yeah, I don't even remember how this thing happened. But anyways, I think... Did I have anything to do with the Warriors 3?
We were talking about the Warriors 3, yeah. And
then
and
we moved
so
away
I was
from
saying,
that.
You know, if the, what are they going to do in the future with the Warriors 3, really, that of any significance? So maybe they didn't really care. They just kill him off. Sif wasn't in this movie. At all.
Yeah, I was like wondering about that, like what happened to her. Yeah, there are like some holes, I feel like, you know, in that way, because I was like wondering the whole time. I was like, well, what the hell happened to Lady Sif? Why, you know, why did you guys kill the Warriors 3? You know, obviously,
I think Sif was absent from this movie just so they wouldn't have to kill her, because I think they had to establish Hela's power and they kind of had to have this new kind of regime. So she killed all the Warriors pretty much on Asgard, made her own army of the dead for Warriors, and then there's just the citizens after that. So
what did you think about the giant wolf?
I love the giant wolf. I just think he didn't get enough screen time.
I know. I so. Agree. I thought like the battle between him and Hulk were just fantastic.
Yeah.
To be honest.
You know, and I think this movie really benefits from the lack of Jane Foster, to be honest.
She got a mention, though.
She got a mention, yeah.
I love also, Jane Foster.
Also played for a joke. I love Jane Foster in the comics.
Team Jane Foster!
I love the way she's been. I think Jane Foster was the single biggest problem with the Dark World.
Fuck yourself.
All right. I think we disagree on that, maybe, but a lot of fans agree with me. So
disagree. Fake news. Get out of here.
It's fake. But
So, okay, some Easter eggs, right? Obviously, we have Beta Ray Bill.
Oh, yeah, on the like statue the horse head, you know, when they're showing, like, the stadium, and you see Hulk's head on top, and then some right. heads, Beta Ray Bill.
Beta Ray Bill. Dang it, I wish they would have, like, mentioned him, like, what happened to him or something, but you know he exists in this universe, and that fucking excites me. Yeah. Oh, dude, that gets me so fucking pumped, dude, because there are some great storylines with Beta Ray Bill comics, like, some great moments, dude. Beta Ray Bill is hilarious, which also like opens itself up to like the many Thors and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
Other Easter egg, Throg. That was hilarious. It's a true story. Loki did turn him into a frog once.
Yes.
Dude, but that story was hilarious though. That was something. He knows that was the thing. That was the thing. I think it was so funny for me because I hate snakes.
Oh yeah.
I was like over there dying, dude.
Oh yeah. The snake joke was hilarious. So,
look, see, that's how you know how great this movie was, right? And just how enjoyable it is, you know, we're always talking like griping about the theater experience, and let me tell you, right? So the Century 16. In Elk Grove, California, right? They're stepping up their shit, dude. They got luxury loungers, reserved seating. The theater's not so cramped, so it doesn't lend itself so much to like a large crowd. And it's the tickets are more expensive, so you know people.
But not it's not too much more. I mean,
yeah, they're not too much more, but it does lend itself to a lot of the crowd going to see the other in the other auditoriums, just because they don't want to pay more.
Right. I mean, to be fair, there was one kid who kept talking.
Right. I was just about to get to that, you know, and I always talk about, I hate when people fucking talk during the movie, blah, blah, blah. But like, I kept looking at the kid like he a little annoying, but like it just did not affect me. It did not affect me. That's how great this. I really feel like it was in large part due to how fucking good this movie was.
Oh, and on that point, I mean, I had to pee starting like 20 minutes in and I didn't want to get up. Like,
yeah,
I was like, I'm not going to miss any part of this
film. I would have just shat myself if I had to get up.
I mean, we'll clean it up later, right?
Fuck that, dude. They can clean it up.
I'll let it drip down my leg. You're going to have to clean up yourself still. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I mean, you're not going to be like, hey, auditorium boy, come wipe my ass.
I would, but, you know.
But, yeah, I mean, who didn't we talk about? I think we've talked about everyone pretty much, right? Mark Ruffalo, what'd you think of his Bruce Banner? I mean, I don't think he voices Hulk. I think Lou Ferrigno still voices Hulk.
Talking about fucking... Oh, finally, dude.
Oh, Talking Hulk, yes.
Talking Hulk, why? Well, why was this not a thing before?
When that was in the trailer, dude, I was so hyped. I was like, oh, I love it. Like, when are we going to get Talking Hulk? And we fucking got it, and it's just phenomenal.
It was great. It was everything you really did hope for.
And we got huge callbacks too to like Age of Ultron, with Natasha, and like fucking Thor kept saying the sun's getting real low, big guy.
The sun's getting low, big guy. Hello, big boy. The sun's going down.
Fucking
Hulk. Fucking Thor and his creepy ass fucking things and shit.
Hulk like raging fire.
Thor like little spark.
I love those two together. Like, and then Thor's like, I don't even like puny bear. He's like, Hulk is Thor's friend. And then when he became Banner, he's like, I don't like that other guy. He's like, you're way cooler.
He's like, Banner.
He's like, use one of your 7 PhDs.
Right. Oh God. Talking about Sakaar some more. How great was it, like, seeing people take, you know, just like the fandom of Hulk, dude? It was great. I don't know. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It was just like a subtle touch to the movie, and I was just like, this is fantastic.
Right.
So maybe some... All right, I'll try to find something I didn't like about the movie. I don't know.
I mean, we already said said the Warriors 3 dying. I mean,
the Warriors 3, the conclusion between the arc of the Grandmaster really wasn't finished.
I mean, I guess it's not really part of this story in a way. It's kind of just like what allowed them to escape in a way, you know? So it's right. Like, you know... And we find out
there's so much character development, you know.
Right. Yeah. And you know, Thor is in a place now where he doesn't necessarily want to be king, but will be for his people. You know, he's worried about finding him a new home, and you know, I think it's definitely going to be Norway. I mean, because at the beginning, Odin was like, "This could be our home," you know.
Yeah. Pretty how much. Great.
I like.
It's so funny. You're like, "That is my homeland."
Yeah, I did say that. My family comes from Norway.
In case you didn't know. get off my land.
Get off my land. But yeah, I think they're going to settle there. I like the idea behind, you know, Asgard isn't a place, it's a people. I think they could have developed that a little more too, thematically.
Yeah, that's something I didn't like. The fact that they're coming to Earth, that's not going to go over well.
Well, right. I mean, we're not big fans of immigrants here.
I know, right?
But, I mean, and then in the post-credits scene, maybe they won't make it to Earth. I mean, are we to assume that's Thanos' ship?
I don't
bearing
know.
Bearing down on them. Or, I think it's his legion, maybe.
The Kree.
The Kree?
Kind of looked like a Kree ship a little bit, right? Am I wrong?
I mean...
To me, it did. Dude, how whack was the fucking post-credit scenes, though? Those are pretty fucking lame.
I mean, as far as post-credit scenes go, yeah, I mean...
That's my biggest complaint.
Daniel was really hoping for a...
what was the first one about?
The first one was the ship bearing down on them.
Like, I thought that was the second one.
No, the second one was the Grand Master coming out of, like, the
thing.
Oh,
yeah, dude.
And he's like, congratulations, everyone. You know, I kind of helped because there can't be a revolution without someone to revolt against. So, you know, you're welcome.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That was fucking lame.
Right. But Jeff Goldblum was pretty fantastic as the Grand Master.
So, okay. All right. So, in the films, through post-credit scenes, we've established that, like, the Stan Lee character... is you know, he talks to
the watchers
and gives them information. What was the purpose of him cutting Thor's hair, though? What was the purpose in this?
I don't know. I mean, maybe symbolically, you know, it's like Stan Lee is gonna butcher Thor or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I thought it was great because it's probably his most elaborate cameo yet. It was just so funny the way like Thor's talking to him, and you're like, watch your mouth, you're talking to a legend.
He's like, if you touch my hair, I will come down on you with the mighty power of Thor. And then he's like,
don't touch my hair, old man.
And then he like starts spinning up his like little blade thing. Please don't touch my hair.
Please don't touch me.
Dude, this movie made me so fucking excited for the future of Doctor Strange as well, though.
I can't
fucking wait. But yes, Thor, all lightning-y, fucking spinning through people like Raiden and shit.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the stuff I like.
Lightning and shit was awesome. I mean, fuck. And him and Hulk together were fucking amazing, guys. That's just...
Him and Loki together were amazing.
Yeah, I mean...
I kind of touched on it, you know, characteristics and stuff. That was the one relationship where I felt like, in a way, they've kind of got it wrong. Because their bond was so much stronger in the comic books. Like, so much stronger. This one, they always kind of just, like, resented each other. This one, you know, that dude, that, like, when he's talking to him in the elevator, dude, that shit was, like, emotional ass shit.
That shit was all funny, too, I need help.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I need help was a funny little scheme. And then Loki's like, I'm not doing, I need help again.
Well, I mean, even so, you know, like you say, like they're kind of dynamic. If you think back to the first Avengers movie where he's like, Loki is my brother. And then they're like, oh, he killed all these people. And he's like, oh, he's adopted. You know, it's like that line was great, right?
Right.
But like that, you know, and we kind of all go along with it. But, you know, to be honest, that's something like Hulk would never say, or Thor would never say.
Right. He would actually like, defend his
he
brother.
He would never just say, oh, he's adopted. You know, like, I mean, he wouldn't necessarily defend him either. You know, like comic books,
he
depending
would...
on, you know, the writer, the era, it's so vastly different, obviously. But
I don't know, like. I do that scene in particular when he's like you're my brother Loki. I envisioned us fighting side by side together forever, dude.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I was
yeah.
just like, the feels. The feels, man.
Yeah,
the feels right in my nipple areas.
Yeah. And then like the fact that like he's finally understands Loki enough to like not let him get tricked again.
Right.
That was great. So
I thought it was just great though.
You got tricked by the trickster. I mean, you got
that. I thought it was great though. Like Loki, the whole movie, he's like, I want to help you, but I'm gonna look out for my own interests. You know, classic trickster.
Yeah.
Classic Loki. I was just like, fucking raise the roof, arm pumping action, dude.
Yeah. But right. I mean, Tom Hiddleston has always been phenomenal as Loki, and I think he's probably the most favorite villain of all Marvel. And I've seen a lot of people saying, oh, you know, Marvel broke their villain curse with Hela and stuff. I still think, like, as far as, like, villains, she's not the best. I think she's up there with, you know, with some of the better villains. I mean...
I thought she was great, but... Okay, so what do you mean? Like, do you think just, like, story... So, are you talking about, like, story-wise, or are you just talking about, like, power level? Because, obviously, she's, like,
I mean,
the strongest one that they've
she's
ever...
ridiculously powerful. I'm talking about story-wise. I mean,
okay.
if you're looking... Power level and performance, definitely one of the best. But, you know, if you combine performance with writing, I think to date, besides Loki, it's Vulture. It's one of the best villains Marvel's done, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, she's up there. She's definitely up there. I think she was better than Ares from Wonder Woman, you know? So,
right.
And much better developed through the plot as well, so.
I hated Ares as a villain, dude. Like... That was underdeveloped.
Yeah.
That was some bullshit.
Right.
That was underdeveloped right there.
But yeah, I mean, I honestly can't say enough about how much I enjoyed this film. Definitely
right.
one of the most enjoyable Marvel films. So I think overall, right, I'd give it a 9 out of 10. Like just solid grade, you know, out of 10.
Oh, so we're not doing the point systems?
Well, I mean, just basic, because this is something people can understand. We'll do our point system still as well, but...
I would give it a 9 as well.
Yeah, yeah.
9 out of 10.
No point system, not like 9 point this, 9 point that. It's just solid number out of 10, 9 out of 10. Do we have to put this on our sheet, right? Is this a thing? Is this a thing we have to do?
Well, I mean, we'll do that later. And because obviously we'll have to readjust it once we figure out all the Easter eggs. You know, we've mentioned some of them, but obviously something like this is going to lend itself to like a million different Easter eggs.
Yeah.
You know, to go super unnoticed, just be in the background and stuff, because they're getting a lot better at like hiding it, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, like Guardians is like the biggest, you know.
Oh yeah,
for the longest time,
Easter eggs.
For the longest time, there was like one Easter egg that nobody could figure out or whatever.
Has anybody figured it out?
I don't. I don't think so.
But let's just kind of go through our top 10 list and see if we can dictate if this cracks that. All right. So for you guys who aren't familiar, these are our top 10 comic book movies of all time that we've rated. Number 10, we have Watchmen. 9 is Spider-Man: Homecoming. 8 is Logan. 7, Guardians of the Galaxy. 6 is The Avengers. 5 is Deadpool. 4 is Doctor Strange. 3 is The Dark Knight. 2 is The Winter Soldier. And 1 is Wonder Woman. I think this movie definitely makes the top 10.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, we would say better than Watchmen.
Yeah.
I give the edge over Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
Overall. I think it was better than Logan as well, probably. I mean, Logan was more emotional, I think, but...
See, like, that's the thing for me. It's like, we're, I think, one of the biggest categories we really got to reconsider is the rewatchability. Like, yeah. this movie has so much rewatchability, I feel like.
Yeah, and with Logan and stuff, it's like, you can't watch it all the time. It's just too, it's too heavy on the heart.
Right.
So, the most obvious point of comparison for this movie would be number 7, Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one.
Right.
Better or worse?
Than Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
Better.
Better than Guardians?
For sure.
The Avengers?
Yeah.
Deadpool?
Yep.
Doctor Strange?
Yep.
The Dark Knight?
Yep.
Winter Soldier?
Yep, absolutely.
Wonder Woman?
Maybe not. I think it nestles in right at number 2.
For me...
Nah, honestly... I'd have to reconsider. I'd have to really think about it. Really think about it. I'm just kind of fucking with Christian.
Yeah, I could tell.
But I do think there is an argument, though, to make that maybe we rate Winter Soldier too high. Or you do.
Well, I mean, then we could argue that you rate Wonder Woman too high.
Absolutely not.
Definitely can.
How? How? Have you seen that movie?
I have.
Are you sure?
I mean, I think that this...
You're just a wanker.
This Film Review Friday will give us the opportunity to be able to rewatch these movies and really grade them fairly. Because, you know, as of now, it's like some of these movies we haven't seen 2-3 years, you know?
Correct.
So, you know, it's like not like we're watching them all the time. Who has the time for that? But it's like doing the Film Review Friday will allow us to rewatch them and kind of grade them more fairly, because you know, right now we're kind of going from memory. It's like, for me, it's like I'm very fond of this in my memory, and for you it's like
Christian's just, you know, he has a raging hard on for Winter Soldier, even though, you know, I mean, I totally disagree.
I think you will as well once you rewatch it.
I've rewatched it many times and the same problems come up for me, but that's neither here nor there right now.
Maybe in
the future. So all right, so we got the ratings. We've talked about it as much as we could. Obviously, as more Easter eggs come out, probably wait a couple times. We'll probably watch it again in the theaters pretty soon, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
We'll watch it again. We'll try to find out if we can figure out some more Easter eggs. We'll look online, and then, you know, probably in the couple weeks after, you know, we'll see where the box office is. Obviously, that's the only disadvantage of, you know, Film Review Friday is, right, like, we can never really know what the box office is just yet.
Well, we because, know, you know, one day. We know it opened Thursday to 14.5 million for Thursday good. Previews. It overseas in the first weekend made 100 million internationally, so... We'll see what happens. I know they're predicting that they'll make $100 million domestically over this weekend, but we'll have to see what happens. So.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with it, and we'll keep you guys updated on all that stuff. And I'm, you know, my main point is we're going to review the movie again probably pretty soon. But next week, though, we have Rogue One as a request by one of our Twitter followers, Jimmer.
yeah.
Yeah.
And then Friday... Justice League.
Yes, the following Friday, Justice League, and then after that, we're gonna poll it on Twitter. What you guys want us to do first? Do you guys and I'm giving you guys the heads up now, so that way you guys can make sure go follow us on Twitter. First off, second off, you guys can vote in the poll of what franchises or sagas you want us to do first. New Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter. We could do Marvel, the MCU. Sorry, guys. The MCU, or even, you know, God forbid somebody ever fucking vote for this, the DCEU. I mean,
it's just going to make us sit through Suicide Squad and BVS again.
Horseshit.
I mean, all right, guys.
The Man of Steel. God. Please don't ever vote for
I think it's a great pain to you that I actually own that film.
Scumbag, I tell you.
Surprised you haven't, you know, lit it on fire yet.
Right. So, yeah, that's all we guys. That's all we have for you guys. Just make sure, as always, that you go follow us on all of our social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We have a Snapchat account. Go visit our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. go subscribe to our YouTube channel and go follow me on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/CaptainHotSauce. Yeah,
do that.
Do that.
CPTHOTSAUCE.
Yeah, you know, just in case you illiterate ass didn't know how to spell it. Or I post links on our social media all the time when I'm going live to stream on Twitch. So, yeah, that's another reason you guys should be following us on our social media.
Yeah. Just before we conclude, huge shout-outs to some of our faithful listeners. Nicholas J. on Twitter, thank you for all your support. Chai Star, our friend Serena, she has been fantastic with our Twitter as well. Jamar, feedback, input, you're much appreciated. Matt Albright, thank you for your texts of support and input and feedback. And my friend Ronnie, who also tweeted at us about our new format. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you interacting. And hopefully some of our other listeners will take the cue and start interacting with us as well.
That would be fantastic. Be sure to tune in every Friday at 8 p.m. Our podcast will be posted on iTunes, Podbean.com, Stitcher, Libsyn, and Google Music Play Store. Make sure that you guys, subscribe to the podcast and share it. Write us a review. Let us know what you guys think of the new format. Also, every Sunday at 8, we'll be doing our Nerd News podcast and keeping up with the Nerdy Boy segment and all that good stuff. So come back Sunday. Come listen to our podcast. Let us know what you guys think about the new format. Do you guys enjoy us moving away from all the TV shows and stuff? We really hope this moves us in the right direction, and we appreciate everybody's continued support of our adventures.
Yeah, definitely. So without further ado, that is all we have for you guys this Friday. Thanks for sticking with us. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And as always, we have one message for you, and that is stay nerdy, boys.